As already been mentioned, we are in the season of Advent. And this 4 weeks in the run-up to Christmas, which is known as Advent, and this week, and each week, we're going to concentrate on a particular aspect of that. The Advent themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. And this evening, we're going to begin the series by looking at hope. Well, I wish I weren't looking at myself there. I want to talk about hope because I think it's a very important word for coping with all the seasons of our lives. When babies are born and when a loved one dies, when it's a time to plant and it's harvest time, when it's a time of war and when it's a time of peace, when it's a time to weep and when it's time to laugh, when it's time to search for what is lost, and when it's time to give up the search, when it's time to tear apart, and when it's time to mend what is torn, then the most single important attitude we must have in every one of those situations is hope. My favourite Bible verse in this church is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I think that many of us would say that this is also one of our favourite verses. This verse promises us a hope and a future. And hope and future always go together in the seasons of life. I have to admit, though, that as with a lot of words, the word hope has changed its meaning somewhat in these modern times. More often than not, when we use the word, it has little or nothing to do with the way the Bible uses it. It's the weak and ineffectual way the word is tossed around that seems to be not quite right. I think that when we hear someone say, "I hope," what they usually mean is, "I wish." We go to the cinema and say, "I hope this is going to be a good film." We order stuff on the internet and say, "I hope I get what I've ordered." What we mean is not, it's our wish for that outcome. What we mean is that it's our wish for that outcome. But that isn't what the Bible means when it uses the word hope. When the Bible refers to hope, it doesn't mean "I wish." In fact, it means "I have confidence." It's not "I hope so," but actually, "I hope so, so I have confidence. I hope, so I'm not afraid. I hope, so I can walk into the future." Yes. And that's the gift of hope that God wants to give us. Hope is not just being an optimist. It's common to mistake hope and optimism. An optimist sees the glass as half full, and a pessimist sees the glass as half empty. But the person of hope sees that the glass is firmly held in the hand of God. And that's good news for some of you who are pessimists. You feel like you can never be hopeful, but actually, you can be pessimistic and hopeful. You can recognize that even in a world where things aren't perfect, God is still in control. Recognize that he's got the whole world in his hands, and therefore we have hope. The four-word definition of hope is, God is in control. When one sees that, it changes everything in life. When I realize that God's purpose will always prevail, I have hope. And I know that we come across difficult situations that we don't understand. Sometimes we can get despondent and low, but always we need to remember God is in control. And people need hope. People are longing for hope. People will do just about anything if there is hope. But when there is no hope, what is left? Where do we turn? Surprisingly, statistics reveal that cases of depression continue to rise in percentage terms every year in this country. And suicide is now the cause of death in 10% of deaths recorded in our country. News commentators commonly refer to Generation X, and by that they mean those born after 1960, but born before the millennium, as a hopeless generation. But no generation today has a monopoly on hopelessness. All ages need hope. I think that Generation X's are just a bit more honest about it. They're looking for authentic relationships and meaningful experiences, and often don't find them. We're living longer, we've never had more, and to paraphrase Winston Churchill, never in human history have so many had so much for so long and been so depressed about it. We need hope, the kind of hope that God gives, the kind of hope that changes everything. What happens when we have hope? When God brings hope into our lives? Well, firstly, if I have hope, I can get started. What gets you started in the morning when you wake up? What gets your motor going? What causes you to hit the floor ready to take on a new day? What helps you to say, "Good morning, Lord," rather than, "Good Lord, it's morning"? In our text this evening, we read in Isaiah 40, verse 31, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." God's hope can get us started. Every day we can somehow plug into the eternal purposes of God, and that should get our motors running. Now, it's a familiar story, but it bears repeating. A man came upon a gang of workmen on a construction site, and he asked one man, "What are you doing today?" The worker grunted and said, "What's it look like? I'm mixing cement." He asked another set the same question, and again came the curt reply, "I'm laying bricks, all right?" And he saw another man working diligently in another area of the work site, and he asked him, "What kind of work are you doing today?" The worker looked up and said proudly, "I'm building a great cathedral." Is it just a job, something to earn a living? Or are we plugged into the eternal purposes of God? If I have hope, I can get started. Secondly, if I have hope, I can live with, and you fill in the blank. You can live with whatever burden is in your life at this very time. It's hope that enables us to handle tremendous pressure. People who have hope can handle incredible burdens in their lives, those day-to-day burdens. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 wrote about the ministry burdens that he had because of the persecution that he faced in his life. He said, "We have great burdens that are beyond our own strength. We even give up hope of living." And some of us may feel like that today and know just how we felt. But then he continues, "This happened so that we would trust not in ourselves, but in God." Even at that point, when he wondered, "Am I going to make it?" he was finding hope. He could live with anything because of the hope that God gave him. In the same way, if I have hope, I can live with whatever comes my way. And thirdly, if I have hope, I can go on. Hope gives us strength to go on. Hope is what gives us the strength to go on after the loss or disappointment or dream that once more refuses to come alive. I'll give you an illustration. The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he hopefully scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed to come. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived back at the hut to find it in flames, smoke rolling to the sky. The worst had happened, everything was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger. "God, how could you do this to me?" he cried. Early the next day, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. "How did you know I was here?" asked the weary man to his rescuers. "We saw your smoke signal," they replied. So, even in the midst of despair, we still have hope. Even in the midst of doubts and fears and discouragement, God promises are immovable. They're always going to be there. You may not be able to see them, but hope gives you the knowledge that the faithfulness of God is there, and therefore you can go on. In John chapter 11, we see Mary and Martha, and they were in despair because Jesus arrived too late to help their brother Lazarus, who was sick and who had then died. Whatever else they might have thought in their grief and despair, Jesus was 4 days late. But when he arrived, he called the 3-day dead Lazarus to life, and Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Because God is always on time. Hope is out there. If I have hope, I can go on into the future. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 tells us, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." But there's a wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. When I have hope, I can get started, and I can live with whatever comes, and I can continue on. Fourthly, if I have hope, I can slow down. Hope is what gives me the ability to slow down in this busy life. Life gets out of balance when too much becomes too important. Without hope, we're always in a hurry. We don't know where we're headed, but we're always in a hurry to get there. And it's a thing of this time, of this age that we live in, that everyone is in a hurry. It seems to be an old and iconic, ironic habit of human beings that we always run faster when we've lost our way. We don't know where we're going, but we think that we have to run a little bit faster just to get wherever it is we don't know we're going. We live in a society that's desperately in need of rest. But how can we find rest in our busy, busy, busy lives? It's hope that enables us to slow down just a little bit, to realise that we don't have to rush too fast, because we do know where life is headed. Psalm 62 verse 5 encourages us, "I find rest in God, only He gives me hope." Hope and rest go together. Without hope, you'll find you're very restless. But with hope, you have the power to be rested. If I have hope, I can slow down. And then, just one last but very important thing. If I have hope, I have the power to say no. I can get started. I can live with whatever. I can go on. I can slow down. And I can say no to the temptations of life. Hope is the foundation of integrity. If I have no hope for the future, if I think there's nothing out there for me, then truthfully there's no logical reason to have integrity. I may be quite a moral person, but there's no logical reason to be so, because it doesn't really matter. Just eat, drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die. If we have no hope, then nothing matters. However, for the believer, hope is the foundation for genuine wholeness. 1 John 3 verse 3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in Christ keeps himself pure, just as Christ is pure." And that's the power of hope in our lives. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the hope that God wants to give us. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In the New Testament, the word hope occurs only once before the resurrection of Jesus. That's in Matthew 12:21, when a prophecy of Isaiah is ascribed to Jesus. But the word hope occurs 70 times after the resurrection of Christ. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out where the hope comes from. Hope begins at the darkest places of our lives and explodes onto the scene with the resurrection power. Look at the symbol of our faith, the cross. Many of us wear a cross around our necks. But it was an instrument of execution and shame in Jesus' day. Yet the cross is a perfect illustration of our faith. It was a dark place that God turned into a resurrection. If you want a picture of how God transforms the problems of the world into a means of grace and blessing, don't look any further than the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He took that evil that was done on the cross and turned it into a resurrection that brings us light and eternal hope. The cross tells us that he not only understands our pain, but he can transform our pain. Therefore, we have the confidence that in all seasons of life, hope endures. There is hope out there in the future that's indescribable. It's a place called heaven. It's a perfect hope. It's also known as the blessed hope. It's something the world cannot give, and nothing in this world can take away. Lamentations 3 verses 21 and 22 say, "But I have a hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop." But you don't have to wait for hope to begin. God has already given us hope in the birth of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate each and every Christmas. But we need hope in all the seasons of life. And the great news is that God wants you to have it. God loves you and has purpose for your life. God is at work in your life, even though you can't see it. God will honour his promises. In Isaiah 49 verse 23 we read, "Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." This Christmas, in and among the frantic shopping and festivities, when everything's getting just a little bit too much, take a moment to reflect that the hope we have is in the one who holds the glass in his hands, sees that it's not half empty, but is totally full to the brim, and who is never, ever late. Amen.